The title of the message this morning is Faith Builders. Do we ever accomplish enough faith in our walk with Jesus? In other words, can our faith always be improved? Can it always grow deeper? Can it always be added to? Yes. And that's what we're called to do. We're to walk by faith, each step of the way. So having said that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask, Father, please, that you carry this message to each and every heart. I pray that if there's someone here, whether it be a child or a daughter, whomever that's here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today that they would step up and come up during the invitation and say, Pastor, I want your help to ask Jesus in my heart that they might come to know you as their Savior. I pray, Father, that you encourage each one of us to have faith, to look up to you, to look to heaven things, to know your promises, to know your presence in our lives, and to know that you love us and are working in our lives to do the things that you want to accomplish, and you're preparing us for those things. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking about the last few weeks, of course, of the biblical account of Israel at the Red Sea. A lot to learn there. We see the power of God. We see the wonder of God's hand. We see the God of God providing what's needed. And this will be the last message for our series of messages on the Red Sea this week. But I want to go back to Exodus chapter 14, verse 30 and 31, and look at something that we didn't focus on so much last time. It says, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You know, if you and I were there and we saw all that happen, we'd believe the Lord too. If we didn't, it'd be a real issue, wouldn't there? It'd definitely an issue. We don't always know why God allows our problems. Okay, we don't know that. But we know he intends to use them to build our faith. Right? You know, I don't know. There's one thing I'll go back, and I'm sure there are many others. But I was driving from Pollock Pines, which is north of Placerville, and there was popcorn snow on the ground. You know what popcorn snow is? Between hail and snow. Okay, so there's popcorn snow on the ground, and I'm coming down off the hill. Kathy had just finished paying off our car so that she could quit her job, go home, and give birth to Carolyn and raise her home. And so I'm driving at 11:30 at night down the hill from my job, and I ended up losing traction and was parallel to the road, not parallel, it was crossing the road, and this truck came barreling down around the dog leg turn, and he just T-boned me right into this, what do they call it, a universal body, just of the car, and it smashed the passenger door all the way through, hit my elbow, and cut through my jacket, and even had glass inside my high top boots when I took them off. Really weird. But the car just got paid off. I mean, and it was transportation, obviously. And I never knew why God allowed that. But I know one thing, God took care of our needs. And we still carried on. The fun part about it was driving it home. It was cold. Let's put it that way. And so we don't always know why God allows problems. Okay? But we do know he intends to use them to build our faith. We need to understand that God is not obligated to us to explain the reasons why he allows things. He just doesn't do it. He can tell us why if he chooses to, but it's our goal and our objective as believers in Christ to trust him whether we understand or not. Why? Because God loves us. God knows exactly what's going on in our life, and he loves us, and he's working the best for us. And we have to trust him by faith in that. The Israelites saw the great miracles in Egypt, the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea. They believed on the Lord. Pastor Robert Morgan said, trials and troubles are like dumbbells and treadmills for the soul. That doesn't mean we're dumbbells. It just means, as my brother used to call me, but trials and troubles are like dumbbells and treadmills for the soul. It strengthens us. It builds stamina, and that strength and that stamina is strength and stamina in our faith. Faith is a cumulative quality to it, right? There's a cumulative quality to faith. We can keep adding to faith. That's what we're supposed to do. Add to faith, add to faith, add to faith. Don't let our faith wane. Don't let it grow weak. Don't let it become something that we have to somehow find or muster up to have faith. But let faith be solid and strong in front of us knowing that we belong to the Lord. We are to grow our faith. We're to lay it in store for future times. Isn't that a weird concept? We store up our faith. How do we tap into the faith that we've stored up? Well, we look back on how God has intervened in our life and worked in ways that have built our faith. We can say, well, I know this situation beforehand and many others where God intervened and took care of me. And we saw our faith grow because of it. Trials, problems, God's word and his promises are to be faith builders in our life. It goes back to that verse again that I tell you that I don't like on my own, but I know I've learned to appreciate the value of it. Rejoice in tribulation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nobody wants tribulation. But if we rejoice in it, knowing that God is working through that to build our faith and to help us to be the Christians that God has called us to be. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, the verse I shared with the kids. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for. I am sure that God will take care of me. Are you sure that God will take care of you? How can we be sure that God will take care of you? We're his children. He loves us. He knows what we need, and he will provide his way and his provisions. We can just rely on God, our Heavenly Father, just for that. Faith means being sure of things we hope for, and faith means knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. People who lived in the past became famous because of faith. Do you want to be known for a believer in Christ who lived by faith, not simply by proclamation? That people say they really not only love the Lord, but you could see the power of the faith that they had in God and how God worked in their lives. God created this universe so that the faith principle is always at work. If we didn't have the trials, the troubles, the persecution, the difficulties, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then there would be no need to trust in God and have that faith, right? But God set it up that way so he can build our relationship with Jesus. He said, Lord, look what you did. Look how you worked. Look how you answered that. We might even look in our past and go, we not even realize it, but look in retrospect of the path of our life and go, now I can see God's hand where before I couldn't. And even that builds our faith. We have hope in God's word, okay? And the promises of his word. We have faith in them. We know the things that God has promised us. The reality of eternity, the reality of a new body, a resurrected body, the reality of no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more sinful nature, eternity forward. These are things that God has given us. We have faith that when we go through a green light, right, we have faith that nobody will run it. Generally, that is true. We have faith that the sun will stay up and give us the light and the warmth that we need every day. We have faith that God will never leave us nor forsake us, and that we can trust him in every circumstance. God's care and control over our lives is based on his scriptural promises. And we have to live by faith. And that living by faith is knowing that God has promised, I'm your father, you're saved, et cetera, et cetera, all these things. Or maybe God has just simply told you, this is what I want you to hear from me. It never contradicts God's word. If you ever think you hear from God and it contradicts God's word, it's not from God. But if you hear from God and you know that it's not out of line, and you know in your spirit that this is what God has told you, then you can count on it by faith. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, a little further down that chapter. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith, isn't it? God said, go that way. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He waited for the promise of the new Jerusalem that God said he would make. Guess what? You and I are waiting for that too. We're waiting for God's The reality of the truth of God's word says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my house are many mansions. That one day that the new Jerusalem will descend out of the out of heaven where the Father, our Heavenly Father is, and it will descend down on the earth. Some say it's above the earth. It doesn't matter. God's provided that place. And we will see that as a reality in our life. Abraham waited for that, but he never saw it. You and I wait for it, but we haven't seen it yet. But we have the promise that God has assured us that that will be a reality in your life and my life as a believer. Abraham lived his faith and faith based on what? The promise of God. You and I are called to live basing our faith on the promises of God. Seek and you will know. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Ask for wisdom and understanding, and he will give it to you liberally. And you can go on and on with the promises that God has given us and the challenges that he gives us as well. Let's look at Paul's life for a second in Acts 27, 21 through 26. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. For now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Do you know Paul was not an isolated privilege? In other words, the benefit that Paul had of the assurance that God told him, look, all of the shipmates that he was with and himself would not lose their life. Paul knew that because God told him that. He didn't read it here, but God told him that. So much so that he had bold confidence to tell the men that as well. Is that excluded for Paul, what we might consider the great Apostle Paul, to have such privilege, to know such insight? You and I, as believers in Christ, the body of Christ, can have that same insight from God. God will speak to us sometimes out of the blue, very plainly and clearly, and here address something that might have been on our mind or something he wants us to know. We weren't even searching it out. But other times, you have to search it out. You have to be in prayer. You have to even go to the extreme of fasting. Sometimes you just have to say, okay, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to be committed to prayer. And I want to be on my face before God or on my knees or wherever, however, whatever posture you have in prayer. And I'm going to seek God until I get an answer to the issue. Sometimes it takes work to know what God is trying to tell you. And sometimes God just simply tells you. And that's what he did with Paul. They were facing a disaster at sea, right? And God reassured them through an angel who delivered a word of promise of preservation for their lives. God can speak to you plain as day and say, you're going to be all right. Is that a type of preservation and salvation that's assured to you or promised to you? Yeah. It doesn't have to be extreme like on a ship. It can be in any circumstance that's weighing down on us so heavily that it's crushing our spirit. And God can very easily step in and say, it's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of this. The issue is that by faith, we need to trust God in that promise. And if we are assured in our heart that God has spoke to us, then we can walk with confidence in what God has told us. Sometimes we're trapped at a dead end, like the beginning of this series we talked about, how God would purposely lead someone to a dead end. Purposely. For what reason? Like the Red Sea, to show his power in delivering and providing what's needed. Setting up a situation that requires a test of faith to either look up to God or to look down and say, I give up. The choice is ours. And as we trust God, We trust him to take us through whatever challenge we have that we have no control of in particular. Will we have faith in God or not? We're to study God's word, listen to messages, read Christian books, learn of God's love, and learn of his care for us and his mighty power. And yet sometimes when those storms arise in our lives, our faith is very little or lacking. Ever been there? You think we've got the faith that's built up. We think we've got the maturity that's built up. And yet we come across a situation where all of a sudden our faith seems weak and fragile. And God says, look to me. I am your God. I am your heavenly Father. I am your Savior. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know every need that you have. I know everything that you will ask me before you even ask me. I know all about you. I created you. And I love you. Look to me. Trust in God. When our faith is lacking, what's that say? We disappoint God. Disappointment doesn't mean that God walks away from us because we're disappointed or disappointing him. It just simply means, I want you to have faith in me. I want you to know me well enough to know that you can trust me. And that's what God wants us to do in any given challenge that we have that causes us to have our faith to be stretched or where we allow ourselves to quench our faith. God doesn't want that. That's where he's disappointed. But he still loves us. In Mark 4, verse 39 and 40, let's look at what Jesus said to his disciples. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What were they looking at? Man, they saw the tempestuous winds and the waves and the swells in the water and the water coming over their boat. He saw all the negative circumstances that were overwhelming them. And in their own finite human thinking, they're thinking, we are dead sunk in the water. There is no way we're getting out of this. Why? Because the elements were beyond their control. The elements are not beyond God's control. The elements that we face in our given situation is not beyond God's control, even though it's out of our control. And yet, in the midst of that, Jesus expects us to have faith through that. Because he said to the disciples, and looked at them, how can you have such little faith? And yet, from a human perspective, you can say, well, can't you tell why I'm not faithful? But in reality, God will say, I know what your reasoning is, but your focus is wrong. Your focus is not on me. Surrender yourself to focus on God. And let him take care of the circumstances you might be facing. Warren Wiersbe said, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. That's a weak faith. Faith is quantifiable. Faith is able to be measured. When our faith is great, God is pleased and responds to it. It takes faith to receive Christ, but it takes another type of faith to walk with Christ. You see, babes in Christ, but you see those that are mature in Christ, and you can clearly see the difference of the depth of their faith that's measured and quantifiable, right? We can see the secure faith of a mature Christian rather than that of a younger Christian. In Matthew 8:8-10, it says, the centurion answered, and I love this passage, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, amongst his own people. He has not seen such great faith. And here this servant, this centurion, that has great power and authority as a Roman centurion, simply looked at Jesus and said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, under my roof. You don't need to do anything that takes a lot of effort. Just speak the word. God can do that to you and me. God can just speak the word that totally takes care of the whole situation that we're looking at. And he can usher in that peace. And of course, the end of that written account is that the servant was healed at the very moment that Jesus healed him, as you read the passage on. But faith is the key here. Never assume that we've reached the pinnacle, that our faith is secure. And what I mean by that is not about our salvation, but about how we handle circumstances. Always accept the responsibility that as we walk by faith, we're looking dead eye straight into the challenge. Because if you don't have the challenge, then there's no need to walk by faith. So we have to go head on, straight on, into the challenge by faith. And God honor that. Why? Because we're not going in our own power, but we're going and entering into that challenge by relying on God's power, God's strength, God's provision. What's the end result of that? Our faith is built when we see God accomplish the work through the challenge. And not ultimately, but most importantly, God is glorified. And we store up more faith so we can look back and go, man, that was an impossible situation, but God took care of it. And now I'm facing another impossible situation, and God's going to take care of that too. Not because I manipulate God, but because I know my Father loves me, and he knows my needs, and he knows exactly what he's doing, and I can trust him by faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We first must come to the Lord, asking Jesus Christ in our heart as our Savior, like the kids and I were talking about. But then it also says that we must, right, diligently seek him. And what's the result of that? He will reward us for diligently seeking him in faith. We're not to be a people that are afraid when we're trapped at our own Red Sea, at our own brick wall, at our own closed circumstance that from a human perspective we have no way out. We're not to be afraid of that. We're not to be afraid because God is in control. Do you believe that? Do you trust God in that? So many times we can analyze and rationalize our faith away. But if we trust in God by faith, we can know that he will take care of us. We're not to panic. We're not to fear. We're to have faith. We're to trust God. We're to believe his promises, and we are to believe in and trust in his character. God is my God. He is my Savior. He is my deliverer. He is my protector. He is my strong tower. He is my rock. He is my fortress. We can go on and on about the typologies of what Christ is to you and my life, and choose to stand strong in him. I want to share a story with you about a pastor who had once told his daughter that he would build her a dollhouse. A few minutes later, he looked out the window and saw his five-year-old with arms full of dolls and toy dishes, making a big pile in the yard with them. His wife went out to find out what was going on. She reported back to him that their daughter said that Daddy promised to build her a dollhouse, and she believed him, and she was just getting ready for it. So simple, yet so powerful. It really reflects where we are in our faith. Daddy said it, it's done deal. God said it, it's a done deal. The space between God saying it and it being a done deal is our faith. And we have to decide whether we want to live by faith and not by sight. Do you have that kind of faith in your Abba, Daddy? Hebrew Abba for Daddy. An endearment doesn't actually mean Daddy, but it means it's an endearment. Do we have that faith in our Heavenly Father? Faith is simply finding and claiming or holding to the promises of God in every situation and being persuaded that God has the power to do whatever he has promised. We need to allow ourselves to be persuaded by God. We need to listen to the counsel of God. There are times when God will speak and we grab hold on to it, and that's the end of the story. God said it, it's going to be done, just like that story. There are other times when God says it, that God is still working on us to build our faith and say, you can trust me that I will accomplish that. And as we continue to listen to him, we will secure for ourselves the assurance and the peace that God is in control, that God will take care of me. When we're entering into the Christmas season over the next month, we'll be looking at some promises of God and his fulfillment of them, and why they are important to us in our next series of messages. So I want to leave us today with a Christmas story that demonstrates faith. Anyone 15 years old in here? 15? In heart, William said he was. I'll just read the scripture. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Blessed is she who believed, blessed or happy, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Ladies, can you imagine being 15 years old and God saying you're going to give birth to a son named Jesus and you've never had a relationship with a man? And the Holy Spirit's telling you, "I have placed this baby in you." Wow. She believed by faith. And God fulfilled that. She knew that that would happen. When God talks to us, and we know that God has spoken, accept that by faith. Because blessed was Mary, happy was Mary, in believing God. We can believe God in the midst of faith, because what he promises is as good as done. Mary was given a promise. Mary had faith and believed. She would enter a trial in her life. She was an unwed mother in society. She still had faith and accepted the promise. Mary believed God would accomplish his promise. Mary was an early widow. She lived poor. She was mocked and criticized. She was put down as a prostitute or a harlot or whatever, which she was not. They were poor. If you read Psalm 69, you can see a little bit about the teenage years of Jesus, believe it or not. They were talked rudely about in the main circuits of their community. But Mary knew that God was accomplishing his work. His promise was being fulfilled. So no matter what she went through, she walked through it by faith. And God blessed her, and she was happy. So let's let God's trials, words, and promises be faith builders in your life. Are you willing to build your faith by holding on to the promises of God by faith and allowing God to walk you through whatever challenge to see what he accomplishes, what he promised? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Father, as I prayed earlier, if there's someone that's not ever received Jesus Christ into their heart, I pray to your Holy Spirit that you would just let them sense your presence right now, knocking on the door of their heart, saying, "I love you. I want to come into your life. I want you and I to have a relationship that is rich, that is fulfilling, that is purposeful, that is eternal." And I pray, Father, that if someone is at that place where they've never asked Jesus in their heart, that they'd come forward and receive Jesus today. Father, I pray for any of my brothers and sisters in Christ that are facing those challenges, as we all do from time to time, that you will help them and me, all of us, to hold on to you as our Father in heaven, to be reassured in your spirit by the depth of your love that we can't comprehend, but that we know is there. That we would be children of faith, that we might be pleasing to you in that faith, that you might be glorified. And I pray that you help us to build our faith, Father, as you lead us on the journey and the path you have us to go. Bless this invitation. Bless the music as we sing praise to you, Father. And may you, dear Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. May you and your presence be warming to us. And may you just wrap us in your arms and walk us out these doors today, knowing in a greater way your personal interest, your personal involvement, and your personal love for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.